She was a nymph, the first Daphne, an immortal. They had them then, the Greeks. It was almost as though they could not decide. They found human beings so beautiful that they could not quite agree to having gods. They muddled things up. Someone could start as a person and then be changed. Changed into a god or a mountain or a whole constellation of stars. You could be half and half. Half a horse and half a human, like the centaurs. Half a human and half a god, like many of the heroes. And their gods were like people because they found the people were like gods. And so, too, there were immortals. Not gods, not humans, immortals. Immortals belonged not to the world of civility and the city where people belonged. Immortals did not belong either to the world of Olympus and the supernatural like the high gods, nor to the shadow, the dark caves of dangerous truths where the sibyls and the prophetesses sang, but to the land. The hard, bright land of river and mountain and forest and sea. Perhaps you have to go there to understand. And one day I will take you, and you will see how blue and how green and how tan brown and how gold a landscape can be. And how suddenly a mountain can leap out of the sea or plunge down into it again, so that the bird and the fish are just different moments of the same movement. So Daphne was an immortal. Her father was the River Ladon, rushing from Rocky Mountain to Salt Sea in a wild movement of foam and energy. And her mother was Tellus, was the Earth herself, the most ancient of the great gods, first born from chaos and night. Before those bright brothers, Zeus and Poseidon and Pluto, came to divide the dark from the light, the wet from the dry, the good from the evil. Tellus was there with her 100 breasts, feeding everything, shaping everything, holding everything. And even when the boys finally came to manhood and destroyed their father Saturn, they could not destroy Tellus, their grandmother, and she remained mother of all the gods, the first and the last. So Daphne had more than a noble inheritance. She had a strong one. Wherever she walked or swam or slept, her mother's arms were around her, held her safe, rocked her, nourished and sustained her. Daphne was Tellus's daughter. She grew up in the deep clefts of the valleys, in the high reaches of her father's water. Her mother sang her lullaby each night. The soft song of growing things, of leaf opening, of petal falling, of dog fox on silent pad through moon-silvered underbrush, of badger whisker and deer antler shaping themselves towards the morning. And the low dark tune of the earth itself, of the deep bass of the drifting continents, of the liquid chuckle of the lava flows forcing themselves up between the floating, dishonest plates of the earth's surface, of whole forests crashing and petrifying into coal seams, and the grinding, groaning rhythm of carbon escaping from methane and being crushed into diamonds. And when she woke from such sleeping, such dreaming, her father sang a morning song for her, lovely and sparkling bright, the song of an active young stream that knows it will become a great river eventually, but for the moment is content with its youthfulness, a playful song, jumping and laughing over rocks, eddying and spurting and whirlpooling and giggling, cutting down hard and greedily into the steep valleys, with miniature rapids and dark gold pools, singing swiftly, foamily downwards. To grow so, and in such joy. To grow up there wide-eyed, her ears filled with the fierce bubbling, the free laughter of the mountain river, her eyes filled with all the fertile tricks of her mother's trade. Of course, Daphne was beautiful. Of course, she was strong and well and took no fever, and her dark, dark hair shone glossy in the mottled sunlight of the beech groves where she played.